I am going to start the recording now for our teleclass. It is Monday, March 7th, 2016, the perfect day to have Meg facilitate our learning with something that I think someone else before her used already, the phrase E equals MC squared, but I think it's going to mean something else in coaching, and I'm very happy you are all here and present with us. And Meg, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Terry. Hello, everybody. Hi, greetings from sunny Lisbon. Sunny and very windy Lisbon. Speaking of energy. So my topic today is something that many of you may know is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and that is managing our energy. And not only managing our own energy, but being able to pay attention to the energy of the client. So that's why I used, and maybe abused, Einstein's equation of E equals MC squared. So for me, in today's topic, it means that energy matters for the C squared, which is the client and the coach. So both sides of the equation of the client and the coach. So I first want to talk a little bit about generally about we as human beings and what we bring to our world in general, not just in coaching, but to everything in our world. And that is that we are all energy. I think we all know now that we are made up of these energy patterns and we have energy running through us. In meridians, we have these chakra centers, something that the ancient Egyptians knew, the Chinese have known for thousands of years, but it's just now coming to the mainstream in the Western world for us to accept those concepts. So we are all energy, and everything around us is energy. And so it's kind of cool if any of you have ever seen or had done aura photographs, the Kirillian photography, which shows the energy. And there are some, when you get the slide deck, you'll see there's some slides of us as human beings with the energy. There we go. Thank you, Terry. And then the next slide down shows that even inanimate or things in nature have energy. So these are photographs of the energy field around a leaf and the energy field around a U.S. coin, a quarter, which I think is really kind of cool. So I like to, that's great, Terry, thank you. I like to remind myself as often as possible that everything around me has energy, and I am vibrating at a certain level, and so with all the things that are in my world. The other, there are two things that also resonated with me some years ago about this idea of energy. And the first comes from a book by Jill Bolt Taylor, who was a brain doctor working in Cambridge, Massachusetts, when she had a stroke at the age of 37. And this stroke affected the left part of her brain. So she lost quite quickly the ability to form language or to recognize patterns of numbers or words. And so she struggled for a long time before she was even able to call for help because she no longer recognized numbers. She had to just match patterns. So she operated entirely from the right side of her brain. Fortunately, that she was able to get help, and they rushed her to the hospital. She had an operation and a long, long road of recovery. And during that time of recovery in the hospital, she was not able to distinguish people as individuals. All she could feel was the energy. So there was the warm, kind energy of one of the nurses, and there was a cold, hard, distant energy of one of the other nurses or one of the doctors. She didn't even recognize her own mother when her mother came to visit. But what she could feel was this enormous energy of love enveloping her and felt comforted. So from that experience, I'll fast forward, she has written a book, And she has done a lot of TED Talks, so you can find her on TED Talks. You can see her in an interview with Oprah on Soul Sunday. And the piece of this that stuck with me so much was this event that happened for her, that she was functioning from this part of her brain, which is the dominant, by the way. It's the largest part of our brain. It's the most, it functions and has more functions than this little tiny piece over here. Anyway, the piece that stuck with me was her recognizing just energies, not individual people, but just the energy that they transmitted. And from that, her quote that I love is that each of us is responsible for the energy we bring into a room. I'll repeat that. And there it is on the screen. Each of us is responsible for the energy we bring into a room. And that really hit home to me. I happened to just read that on a day that lots of little stupid things were going on, and I was at a high level of irritation, which probably none of you have ever experienced, but it was one of those days where, you know, no matter what, things just weren't working so smoothly. And I recognized that my energy that I was bringing into the room was not the most pleasant, that it was an energy of anger and irritation and impatience. And I thought, no, this isn't the energy I want to bring. I don't want to keep carrying this energy with me. So that has become one of my mantras, and I pass it on to you because I feel that there's a lot of wisdom in that, to become mindful of what is the energy I'm bringing into this, particularly in coaching. You know, what's the energy I want to bring? Do I have any ideas about this client or about this coaching assignment? Is there something else going on in my life that's distracting me and causing my energy to be focused in a direction that's not so positive? What is the energy that I want to bring? And the cool thing about this is that we have a choice. We actually have the ability to set a channel. And I was noticing just the other day, I don't know how many of you carry these things around with you everywhere. You know, we have our phones, we have our laptops, we have our desktops, we have our thermostats, we have our gauges in our car, we have our watches, I have my little, my Fitbit thing that's calculating. I'm constantly checking, well, I see some of you nodding, I'm constantly checking levels everywhere, right? Is my battery charged up? How many steps have I done? How many calories am I burning? What's going on in my car? All of these things all the time. And then I thought, well, how much am I checking in with me? When am I looking at my own gauges to see where's my temperature? Where are my different levels? Because all of those impact the energy that I am presenting to the world and the energy that I am experiencing for myself. So I haven't written about this yet, but I'm going to. We have the choice to put ourselves on our own little being stat, or whatever you want to call it, our own little channel of monitoring our own levels and where are we physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So I just put that out there for you guys to consider and create some strategies and ways that will work for you to be checking in with yourself on a regular basis, particularly as you go into a coaching situation. As we all know, presence is one of the fundamentals of coaching. And if we're going to be fully present, maintaining and managing our energy is a key piece of that. So that's sort of the background. There's one other piece that I wanted to add. Hold on one second. I'm going to get the book. I thought I had it with me. This comes from, I'm sure a lot of you read this. This has been out a long time, Power versus Force, or the work of Dr. David Hawkins, who is a medical doctor, a PhD, a mystic, a philosopher, spiritual journeyman. I don't know what he, I'm not sure he labels himself. But he's done a lot of work in human consciousness and human evolution. And a lot of the work that he does had to do with addictions and rehabilitation. But there's so much of it that applies for us, and that is that he did a lot of studies, and he and others have done studies about the transmission of emotions, levels of consciousness. So where we are with a level of consciousness equates to a certain emotion. And the lower emotions, if you will, of, say, anger, grief, guilt, shame, those are very low vibrations, and that those vibrations create a very low reactive energy in other people around us. All right? The studies have shown this, that we are impacting other people in our sphere. There's the slide on that. That our energy fields are giving out this emotion that is having an impact, either positive or negative. So these studies done by Dr. Hawkins and others show that if we want to be having a positive impact, so we start sort of at a neutral level, neutrality of level of consciousness, and the emotion is trusting. And then at that level, we're just being kind of neutral. Not a bad impact, not a positive impact. As we raise our vibrations, as we increase our levels of consciousness and the equivalent emotion, we start to emit higher levels of vibration that impact the world. So you'll see that the highest state is enlightenment, of course, and I'm certainly not there yet. But I'm doing my best to stay at a level of 500 and above is sort of my target. Just like I have a target for my steps that I'm counting, I set myself to say, can I possibly maintain a vibration of love of 500 and higher? Can I be in that state of love? And I'm here to tell you that I don't always stay there. But that's the target. That's the target for me. So I encourage you to look at this research and see if there's something in there for you. Again, we have the choice of setting where our emotions are, where our energy is, what's the vibration we're putting out to the world. One of the cool studies that these scientists did was they brought some Buddhist monks to cities with a lot of high crime rate. And they noticed the vibrations increasing, going at a very high level of, because of the monks, of course, are vibrating at a very high level. So it impacted the entire community that before that time had been full of anger and hatred and fear. And by the presence of the monks and in their meditative state, it raised the vibrations of the entire community. So I think that's kind of cool, really cool. So again, this is where I get passionate about this stuff. There's so much that we can know and learn about ourselves, and there's so much that we have within our own power to set ourselves on a course of being positive. And I'm not talking about just the rah-rah cheerleader, but setting ourselves on a positive vibration, a positive emotion, that keeps us at that level where we are transmitting for ourselves and others a higher level. It also maintains and supports a healthier body, a healthier mind. It causes a positive effect on everything. So let me pause here and see if there are any questions or comments from anybody. When I get passionate, I get to talking, and I want to leave some space for reactions. Disagreements are okay, too.
Meg, I just find this very appropriate for the times we're in, and also from personal experience. I know I was had a heavy workload of writing classes to monitor or work with today, and I had a moment of dread saying, how am I going to get them to structure their writing appropriately for essays? And they're learning English, the students I work with. And I said, as I sat in the car this morning, I needed to change and just give some moments of gratitude for what was about to come.
Wow.
And that, and I had a surprisingly easy and fluid time with both of these classes. And I know it was because there had to be a resetting of the thermostat to a frequency that would really welcome them, you know, and it made a difference. And we had a great time together. So thank you for what you're offering today.
Thank you, John. Thanks. Absolutely. Yeah, gratitude is pretty high on that list.
Meg?
Terry?
There are several people who are exploring silence, sound, presence, and we're doing this as a result of the last skills practice, global skills practice. And I received some written material, and my head couldn't get it. I mean, I read it 3 or 4 times, and my head is starting to feel exhausted trying to figure it out. So I went, okay, I wonder if I can read it with my body.
Cool.
I've never done that before. I am experimenting with that, I should say, using a different level of energy to bring in awareness that seems to be beyond my head. And that's fine. I thought it was just amusing. My head was fried, totally exhausted. I had to switch channels.
Yes.
So this is very useful for me. My head is taking this in.
the studies are showing more and more that the brain that we've given so much power to, this one here in our heads, is not nearly as powerful as the brain that we have in our gut or in our hearts. And so science is now bearing that out. Our poor brains, we need them. We need them. So we're going to stay in a state of gratitude for our fabulous brains, and they serve a good purpose. But often it's that feeling of, I just can't figure this out. Guess what? We don't need to figure it out.
Right.
That's one of the cool things I like about the energy. I don't need to figure out necessarily what's going on. I just need to experience it. What am I experiencing? My dogs stay in that state all the time, and they're very happy. So I don't know why I can't learn to do that as well. Any other comments? So what I invite you to do is to start just paying attention. You don't need to figure anything out, as Terry mentioned. Just begin to feel something and pay attention. Like John mentioned, that thing about, I'm dreading this. What's happening in your body? What's happening in your, what is the message that you're telling yourself in your brain? And just ask the question, is this the energy that I want to bring? How am I feeling? What's going on in my body? What's going on with my emotions? What's going on in my head if I'm scrambling around trying to figure something out? You know, the beauty that for all of us in the Sun community and beyond, we have a strong grounding in our life purpose, asking ourselves that question of, am I aligned with my purpose? And getting back to that place of center can really help in the reset. Okay. So as I said, we're responsible and we can choose. Let me see if there was anything else on that for us. Anyone who's interested in that, I'm happy to share. I've got a whole bookshelf full of books on energy and setting your energy thing. There's a Harvard Business Review article that is a nice synopsis of the work by Tony Schwartz and Bill Lohr. lots of things have been written now on this idea of, it's not about managing your time, it's managing your energy. So I invite you, if you're interested, to read that. take a look at the work by David Hawkins and the scientists and what's going on with energy. Get your aura photo done if you have somebody nearby to do that. Start paying attention. And as I say, choose. So it's kind of, it's become a game for me to say, okay, what's the energy that I want to experience today? And I have to tell you that I'm very affected by the weather. So this morning when it was not so sunny, my mood was darker, and I know I need to do extra work when the weather is not as sunny as it is right now. So get to know yourself in ways. Know what foods help to reinforce you in giving you a high level of energies, and which foods bring you down or not eating. I'm guilty of that, you know, getting so busy that I forget to eat, and then I'm irritable, and I'm wondering why I'm irritable. So all of these areas work in conjunction with each other. They integrate for us to be at our highest state of top energy. So are we ready to move on to talking about the other C in the equation? Yeah? Okay. So, as I said, this is C squared, so there's a client in here. So let's assume that we are just at a super level. We're at gratitude or joy, or we're just dancing into this session with the client. We're all excited. What are we there to do? So I want to call your attention to our core competencies, our good old ICF core competencies, and begin to understand how many times there are, how would I say, there's only one or two that actually mention the client's energy, but there are a lot of opportunities for us to be observers and partners with the client on their journey of energy and their journey of discovery about energy. I see some of you nodding. Yeah, you've been there before. So it was interesting when I was preparing this, and I already knew that there were a couple of competencies that address this, but when I put them in the slide deck, I realized, wow, almost all of them, almost every single one of them were looking for the energy. And I see now, Terry, I forgot to put my favorite of establishing the agreement. Even there, we're noticing the energy that the client has for the objective they set. Wow, how did I forget that? My favorite competency. So from the beginning, we're sort of scanning their energy. We're picking up clues from them. We're feeling the energy that they are transmitting. Remember, that comes across even before we read the body language. That aura that they have meets our aura. So we're reading their energy. Anyone who's studied acting knows this. Actors use that technique all the time to transmit energy. So we're reading the client's aura or their energy. We're noticing body language. We're seeing what their facial expressions are telling us. What's their posture telling us? Yeah. What are their body movements telling us? We're paying attention to their tone of voice, right? The language that they're using is so critical. And all of those are signals that we're like radio transmitters and radio receivers, right? We are receiving all of those signals from the client to take in where might be their energy. Now, here's the trick. It's the trick we always face as coaches. We have to be there as simply as observers, present, absorbing, noticing. We are not there to judge, interpret, correct, etc. Okay? So we're connecting with each other. All right? But the task is for us to observe and notice and explore without attachment. And I know that for me takes discipline of my mind, because I pick up a signal and I'm automatically kind of going, oh, well, because I can't help but react with my own feelings about that. right? There's a negative emotion coming. I'm starting to feel negative. So just practicing that state of observer, that state of noticing what's happening. Okay? I think that's step one of reading the client. The other one is to ask yourself in that moment, I mean, it's a nanosecond where we're asking ourselves, so what do I do with this? I've noticed something. What do I do? I'd like to hear from the group. What are some of the experiences we have? We noticed something that's going on with the client in terms of their energy. What are some of the things that we might do? How might we react? Don't forget to come off mute if you want to share something.
Meg?
Yes?
I just wanted to share this idea that came to my mind in this moment, which is welcome the guest. Welcome what comes.
Thank you. Yeah, welcome. Yeah, just be welcoming. That's a great state of being, isn't it? Welcoming. Thank you, Angela. What else?
We could ask them how their energy is. How their energy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. We can help them become more aware of their own energy and what the impact might be. Yeah. Great. What are some other strategies or reactions we could have?
We can communicate to the client saying, I just noticed that.
Yes.
And they usually say, oh, did you notice that?
Yes, thank you. Grazie, Renato. Yeah, and sometimes it's only the holding that mirror, right? It's only just noticing and letting them share what they want to share. Mm-hmm. What else? Let me ask you another question. Let me put it another way. Number one, do we always have to share what we're picking up? Yes or no? No. I see a majority of you saying no. Okay. So we don't. Sometimes it's just something that kind of passes the screen and we go, okay, note. If we're seeing it repeatedly, then what might there be? Some pattern of behavior, some pattern of a belief. And they may not know what the impact is. But we certainly don't have to react every single time, right? So what are some of the opportunities? Certainly an opportunity to be silent and just notice, but what are some of the opportunities? We've already talked about we can mirror it. We can simply welcome it to the room. What else?
One that hasn't been said yet, which is my focus these days, is just be aware of the impact on my body. You know, yeah. You mentioned head and gut and heart, and where am I feeling this energy?
Yes. And thank you, Terry, for saying that. And I've recognized that I said this to the class on Saturday, that I need to put myself in slow motion when I'm coaching because I need to have that moment to react. Where am I feeling it? And then I need to sort of categorize it. Is it my junk? Is it my stuff that they've hit a button? Mm-hmm. Or is it really something that we could explore in the coaching? Because there have been times when a client says something in a certain way or says a word or I have an old pattern and belief that gets triggered. So if it's my stuff, in that moment, I have to put it aside and self-manage. This is always the juggling act we have as coaches, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So it's that instantaneous thing of saying, where am I feeling this? What's my reaction? Is it just my stuff? Or is it something to explore? Some other things. So notice, I think definitely noticing where what's happening in your body. And it can we share that with the client? What if it is our stuff? What are our thoughts on that? Terry, I see you smiling. You've been there before.
Well, I have a philosophy on that. I do think, and we know at the MCC level, the assessor guides say it's okay to be vulnerable.
Yes, absolutely. Right?
So for me, it's not a question of sharing or not sharing. I feel it's appropriate to share. For me, the issue is how long will it take and how much?
But, you know, in the PCC markers, they talk about vulnerability as well. So I think that the overall overarching theme for me in the competencies is allow ourselves to be human. So, yeah, sometimes being vulnerable and owning up that, hey, this is something of mine can be part of the conversation.
Or even just to say that really affected me.
Yes.
Might be enough without explaining why or where or,
right.
You know, just, yeah.
And then turning it back to the client, you know, what's going on for you. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that gives them permission to be vulnerable and open and to start to become aware of what's happening for them. I coach in the executive arena, so I have what I kindly refer to as walking, doing heads. You know, their feet are about here, and this is how they live their lives. And they forget that they have a body, and they forget that they have a heart. They do have it. They've just forgotten, and it's been disconnected. So by my openness sometimes of sharing a reaction, particularly a physical one, and inviting them to share really gets them thinking, and we can create some amazing awareness for them of what's happening physically and emotionally. It took me a long time to be able to do that, just so you know, but because I was one of those walking heads as well. But the more I get, the more I do it, the more it feels good. So, other ideas. Christine, are you talking? You're muted there. You're talking, but I can't hear you.
I'm unmuting now. Okay, I'm going to share. So, hi. So I was talking to myself and I was wondering if sharing this would be useful. So being vulnerable to accept that whatever goes on in our body may not affect, may not be useful to the client at that moment.
That's true.
So maybe useful to the client in another session.
Yes.
And this is something that happened to me. And yes. This is one thing that, I shared. Okay, I put it away because I felt that it was not useful, but it came back. It came back. He brought it back. So it was really quite amazing. So it was really quite an experience, and it was really out of my body, out of my sharing. So to accept this and be vulnerable, to be, you know, accepting that something can work and some things may not work.
Absolutely.
And have their timing.
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. It does have a timing. Absolutely. We have to say, is this the right time? Which is why I said I put myself on slow motion so that I won't blurt something out as I usually do and then say, wait, take it back. So, yeah, judging, is it the timing to share? Is it the timing to let the client know that I'm vulnerable? I can't say that it's a rule, but I seldom share what's happening for me. I notice it, but I wait until it's recurred, just as Christina explained. If it happens several times and it's hitting me the same place or the same way, it's like, okay. The message needs to be there. So I don't always share what's happening for me, but I pay attention to it. I often will share what I'm hearing of the shifts in energy of the client, just, again, noticing, holding up that mirror, paying attention to the energy that they have around certain ideas or phrases, their tone of voice shifting. I don't need to interpret it. I just need to hold up the mirror and provide them that feedback of what I have heard or what I've noticed. And it can be very helpful for them because they did not notice it or feel it or experience it, or they didn't make the connection with what was happening for them. So it can be a real powerful tool that we have as coaches for creating awareness. And it comes from our being fully present, having established the trust and intimacy, active, really listening actively, and being willing to hold up that mirror and communicate it. For those of you who don't do much, how many of you do a lot of phone coaching? I'm just curious if you put your hand up on who does a lot of coaching over the phone. Not as many of you. Okay. I started most of my coaching practice, my coach training was with Vicky when she was in the U.S. and I was in Belgium at that time. So I worked with Vicky for I don't know how long before I even met her face-to-face. And this was before the days of Skype and Zoom, by the way. Back in the ancient technology when we only had phones. So I couldn't see anything. The clients that I got at that time were most of them were based either in the U.S. or in the U.K. So I, again, on the phone. And I have to say I'm really grateful for that experience because it heightened my ability to tune in to tone of voice and the nuances of language and words that I'm not sure I would have experienced if I'd done all of it face-to-face, because I'm very visual, and I may get distracted by the visual. So I would just encourage you, if you're interested, to start paying attention or listen in on some recordings and see if you can begin to pay attention to the vibrations of the energy that you're experiencing and picking up from people when they're speaking. And it worked, interestingly enough, because I live in a country that does not, English is not the native language here in Portugal, although, as you see, everybody speaks it so well. But anyway, I can watch television in about 12 different languages. And it's kind of fun sometimes just to listen to whatever language it is that I don't understand and see what emotion I might pick up in the language. Or to turn the volume off completely and see what I'm picking up on body language and how much you can experience through just watching without hearing the sound or reading subtitles. It's a fascinating experience, and I think for me, I passed that tip along because it really helped heighten my sensitivity to all the different signals that I'm receiving.
Do you want me to put the slide up? We are responsible, we choose at this point.
Now, that's towards the end. I want to go back down to the competencies, if we can, Terry, just to reinforce some of those. They're further down.
Okay. How about this one? Starting with this.
Yeah, go to the next one. As I said, I found it, of course, maybe I'm just a junkie on the competencies. As I said, in almost all of them, I found some place where there was something about noting their energy. The clients are expressing themselves. And the next one, Terry? Lots of it, as you see in coaching presence, that we're reacting to the whole of the client, that we're observant, we're empathetic, responsive. We're noticing and exploring energy shifts and being curious. These, by the way, are the PCC markers. So this is at the PCC level. And the next one, Terry? I highlighted all of them in active listening because I feel that that this is the main competency that is involved in our being the observer, really paying attention on all the different levels to what's being said, how it's being said, what's the emotion behind it, the tone of voice, the behaviors, how they view their world, so their belief patterns, and of course, staying silent. Next one, Terry. Powerful questions. Again, our what is our real role here? You know, what's the purpose? We note these things for the client for what? It's not our own ego gratification that we were correct or validation of our hypothesis of what was going on, because we're suspending any judgment about it. It's powerful in the fact that we are giving the client an opportunity to explore and discover what's going on, expanding their way of viewing themselves or their viewing of the world. That's where the power comes in the question, not the question itself, but the impact that it has on the client. So the next one, Terry, is on direct communication. I have a lot of my coaching students say that they struggle with this competency on the how-to. You know, it's part of our competencies to share observations, some intuition, again, with the purpose of serving the clients moving forward, okay? And we aren't attached to it. No judgment. It's just observations. Okay? Everything with creating awareness has to do with noticing this. It's all about noticing. How cool is that, right? We're just noticers. We're observers. And for me, that makes it so much easier. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to do it. So the last slide, Terry, is our role as coach. So for me, I do this not just in coaching, but monitoring and managing my own energy in life. I'm seeing a difference in that and many aspects of my life. And you can ask my husband, he'll tell you, I'm being more pleasant to live with these days. So something must be working. Really taking on the idea of who are you as the coach and entering into that meeting and what's going on and giving yourself the time and space to set your energy at the right level, the right setting. And also being open to and vulnerable to where you might need to recalibrate it during the meeting with the client. You know, it happens. We get distracted. We get something pops in and takes us off of that setting. Recalibrate. As I said, my goal is vibrating actually at 500 or more. I'm just encouraging to start at 250 is a good target. Pay attention to the client's energy. That is part of our role as coaches, is to be fully present and to be a partner with their exploration and discovery. And as you see, so many of our competencies are involved with this one piece of the journey with them that... Yeah, it's part of our job. It is our job. That's what we're here for. If you can go back to slide 8 again, Terry, I just love that image of and you see the hearts are beating. For those of you who are on your computers, you can see that the auras of the two people next to each other are intertwined, and the hearts are beating with both of them, and one of them is looking towards the other. And I have assumed that we are the coach, the one on the left, where we are the noticer, we're the observer with our client next to us. So we're side by side, maybe even a little bit behind them, allowing them to lead and to shine, and we serving the role of their observer and partner. Cool. So I'll open it up again for some comments, questions, reactions, thoughts.
Actually, I just want to make sure and mention that whoever, there was a request in the chat.
Okay.
To send the bibliography. Those who want that information, you can email Meg at...
I just sent it to everybody.
There we go. MegManMCC@yahoo.com. Thank you, Meg.
Yeah.
I don't mean to close off comments. I just wanted to be sure.
No, not at all. And I'm happy. I can put in the chat here the books that I referenced. I'm happy to do that. Or if it's easier if you want to request it for me. Which do you think, Terry?
Well, when I close this, it will remove the chat. So
maybe I should do it now.
So we can have a conversation about energy fields, coach and client, while Meg puts that in. What? What are the questions you still have?
Meg?
Yes?
Renate speaking. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I was very curious in your experience, what is the impact also of the environment on the energy, yours and your client's energy, because I guess that especially working in the executive environment and being in offices,
yes,
can be very different than being in our own studio where we can also, let's say, manage the energy because it belongs to us.
Yeah, very good question. Absolutely. Or if you're in, for example, I was just in doing a coaching engagement over the last couple of years in a company that was doing major, major downsizing and changing, and the leaders didn't know from one day to the next would they even still have their positions. So definitely that impacts what's going on, and it's helpful to have that kind of conversation with the client of how it's impacting them. If at all possible, I like to switch the environment if we can, so that we're not always in an office setting. Can we meet, if the weather permits, can we take a walk outdoors for a bit just to shift up the energy? Not sitting at a table all the time or their desks. Doing any kind of body movement that will get up, and even just having them shake out that energy. I've learned to do that. That helps a lot. Movement helps a lot. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Many of my clients, if they're sitting in their office, is where they experience the most stress. It's not an environment that's conducive to high levels of energy. So again, what can be done to shift that? Inviting them to come up with strategies as well. Because it's not all on me, right? But we've had some really rich discussions about the impact of being around that type of negativity or that type of stress and what strategies they can employ for themselves. Great question.
Phil and I had our carpets cleaned a few years ago after some flood water came in, not from the lake, those of you that
know. Oh, good.
No, not from the lake. And as the carpet cleaner guy was going out of the door, he said, that's a really neat space you have downstairs, meaning my office.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, that's where I see clients. He said, clients, what do you do? And you know I'm always in the mood. So this gentleman, as of this month, is going into coach training. He will be one of the boxes here because of the energy. Because of the energy that he felt in this office when he was cleaning the carpet.
Yes.
Interesting.
Wow.
And you know what? one other quick thing. What surprised me when I sent out a query and I was writing Coaching with Spirit, so we're talking the years 2000, 2001, I asked executive coaches, how does Spirit show up for you? I didn't know the answer. And I got back one guy who was walking with people under the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. Another was coaching them on sailboats. Another was doing horseback riding coaching in Colorado. And I thought, there are no people who coach executives in offices. And I never asked about that, but they all came in from...
Wow, wonderful.
Yeah,
it really makes a huge difference. It makes it, for me, it makes a big difference.
And if they are in an office, not one that I would like to be in because the energy doesn't support my best self, I ask them to bring in something that is meaningful for them. And I focus on that in helping make the energy more equal.
Yeah, anything that you can do to raise the vibration. I have several stones and things that I do, and I'm real affected by music and things like that. That knowing if I'm going to go into an environment that's could be draining for me. Mm-hmm. So again, part of our management of it, but helping the clients recognize it for sure, and what the environment is doing for them.
Yeah.
Can be very, very powerful. Other thoughts?
So one more comment from somebody, and then we'll...
I would like to share something that came to me while we were discussing all this, and it actually came a different sea for me, a different something with sea. And it came for consciousness.
I thought that
while we're speaking about energy, energy flows where there's least resistance, right? Mm-hmm. So the best we could do for our clients is just to observe and to notice how the energy flows and the energy shifts and the energy changes, and allow for the constant transformation to be happening in a natural way. And I thought that just by the mere awareness that we bring into the coach-client relationship, it already raises the consciousness for both coach and client in the field.
Beautiful.
And I got to thinking, oh my God, it's such a response, such a huge responsibility for us to be transparent, like clear, like clean, as in energy, because the eye of the observer could influence the way the energy can shift. And that's our responsibility in the relationship.
Thank you. So we're gonna now go E equals MC cubed with the consciousness over both of those interacting auras. That's beautiful. Thank you. That's cool. So I put into the chat box, for those of you who want to access that, my email, the three books that... The three books I mentioned plus the HBR article. But if anyone would like to have any more information on this, please just reach out to me. I'm happy to share. Or if you have any others to share with the group, please do. I'm always looking for new things to absorb and learn. Great fun.
Okay, well,
I want to say thanks to each and every one of you and the community at large, because my vibration is much higher now than it was an hour ago, so thank you. Even higher. So thanks for spreading all that wonderful energy.
It is with sadness that I say Meg's presentation to us for 2016 comes to an end.